because the title today is The Temple of God is Eternal. The Temple of God is Eternal. And so this body that we have said is the habitation of the Holy Spirit. Know you not that ye are the temple of God and you're not your own, but your body is the Lord's, for you're bought with a price. And we have been looking at that. And we saw the first week that the temple, the body, is focused on the church body. And then the second week we saw how the temple of God is not your own. It's not yours, that individual body. And this week we are looking at how that same temple, this body, the Holy Spirit being the one who's indwelled, is eternal, and we look at that this morning. Now, I'm going to journey here. We're going to look at John chapter 2 first. John chapter 2 and verse 19. Jesus says something profound, and the apostles didn't get it right then and there, and those who were arguing with Jesus didn't get it right then and there, but we now know after resurrection the power of this statement. John chapter 2 and verse 19, we see the power of this statement that Jesus gives us. And so we're going to stand here for the reading and honoring of God's word. If you're able, read John 2:19, and then I'll give you directions after that where we're going to spend the rest of our time in the text. John 2 and 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple and building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now check verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Father, we ask now that you would help us, guide us through your word. Lord, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, bless in the name of Jesus, we pray and ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now turn your physical Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. It's going to appear on your screen here. You can go ahead and put that first set of scriptures on there. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're looking in verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. Now we're going to be here. There'll be a couple of other verses that appear on the screen this morning. But 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to look. So we see in John chapter 2 that Jesus spoke of his own body as a temple. We see that he spoke of his physical body as a temple. And he said, if you tear this down in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. And they thought he was talking of the physical temple, Herod's temple. He said, 46 years it took to build it, and you're going to tear it down and in 3 days build it back up. But they didn't get it. After his resurrection, his apostles go, oh, he was talking of his body. And in such fashion, you and I being the first fruits of the resurrection, the same for us. This temple, this body will be raised up, not necessarily after 3 days, but at the sound of the trump of God. And so we're looking this morning at how the temple of God is eternal. If I had a Bible reader in here this morning, somebody be excited about that title, that you know that the temple of God is eternal. It's not temporary, and you don't just turn into worm food. Praise be to God and hallelujah. And so the first thing we see here in 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 23, it's not a temporary temple. It's not a temporary temple. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all we have is to praise God and to praise Jesus in this earth, and there's nothing future to look forward to, then we are miserable people. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. And so everybody who dies in Christ, Christ's resurrection was the first fruits. We'll study that word in a moment. But now that he's resurrected, we know that we also can be a part of the resurrection. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made what? I'm going to see if you're alive this morning. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Good. Now, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ at his coming. See this, Christ at his coming. Those who are in Christ, the temple of God is eternal. There's a few things we need to see about it not being a temporary temple. The first part of this is the divine nature of Christ is proven by his resurrection. Look at Romans 1:4. The divine nature of Christ, the reason why we know that Christ is God, one of the reasons why we know he's God is because he didn't stay in the tomb, amen, but he rose from the grave and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He was declared to be the Son of God, and we know this because he rose from the grave like no man has ever done, except for by the power of God. We also understand the sovereignty of Christ, the person of Christ, his overarching power and omnipotence is proven by his resurrection. Romans 14 and verse 9. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both over what? Of the dead and the living. He's got sovereignty over death and over hell and over grave and over life. He's power over all of it. Here's one that should make you shout. The justification of believers, that which makes it just as if I never sinned, that which makes us have a holy, righteous, legal standing with God the Father, that justification of believers is secure by his resurrection. Romans 4 and verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That is the not guilty that he tells God the Father when you and I enter into heaven's gates. You are justified because of his resurrection. And then our living hope. We don't have to walk around most miserable because while we're alive, we have a blessed hope in Jesus Christ. And our living hope is based upon his resurrection. If Jesus didn't get up the third day, then we have no hope. But we know that he got up. And he came out of the grave. And because he did that, we have a living hope, not just a future hope, but we have hope right now. 1 Peter 1:3 explains this to us. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. What? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's not a temporary tabernacle because he's raised from the dead. But then I'll do you one better. Now get ready to shout. This should make you shout. This should make a Baptist shout and a Methodist quiver. Listen to me now. Our own resurrection is guaranteed by his resurrection. Romans 8:11. We know we won't stay in the grave because he resurrected and he's the first fruits. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11 here. We understand this very clearly in our Bible. Is it not on the screen? Okay, Romans 8:11. Can you put it in there? Do you know how to do it? Romans 8:11. I want them to see this. I want them to get it. Romans 8:11. Turn there with me real quick. Romans 8:11. I want you to see this. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if you're saved, we already covered this, right? That know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you're saved, the Spirit of him, the Spirit raised up Jesus is in you. And that raised up Jesus from the dead, that he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that word means made alive or make alive, your mortal bodies, this body right here, the temple, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Because Jesus raised from the dead, when you're in Christ and Christ in you, when the Spirit of God is in you, it's a guarantee that you also will raise from the dead one day. See, the word first fruits is the Greek word aparche. Now, in the spiritual Septuagint, it is meaning of a sacrifice. In the Hebrew, it's a sacrifice. But the way that Paul used it was in the secular meaning, and that word first fruits means an entrance fee. And so Jesus has paid the cover cost for you and I to be raised from the dead. My dad used to take me from some of his business people that he worked with and some of those folks that were trying to get the business from the colleges he worked at. And so these vendors would give him very expensive tickets to different things that they had a sponsored box at the Dayton Dragons or at the Cincinnati Cyclones. But my favorite was when he would get tickets to the Indiana Pacers over in Indianapolis. because that vendor was a big gas vendor. They would give us a suite, and their suite was right on center court, and it was about three rows up, and so you could see everything. But inside of this suite, if you had the entrance fee, if somebody already covered it, if you had that special band, you walked in, and it wasn't just a temporary blessing. It wasn't just one Coke and a hot dog. It was an all-night kind of blessing. They continued to refill the chicken and refill the cake and refill the drink and everything you want you could have. And they brought all the things in and souvenirs, and you could go back and get as much as you want. There was no limit. It was an all night. The entire time you were there, it was a blessing the entire time. It wasn't just temporary. It wasn't, oh no, here's, you can only get two sodas, or oh no, you can only get two pieces of chicken or one plate. It was all night. They kept on refilling, and they say, Mr. Thompson, would you like any more? Now, we didn't pay a dime for all of that, but the entrance fee was paid. You and I didn't pay a dime for this entrance fee, but Jesus died and rose again and gave you the entrance fee. And when you resurrect, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus, because you died first, the first fruits, and me dying in you, because you raised, I'll also raise with you. This right here, it's not a temporary temple. It's not going to just die and be gone. There's a day that's coming. But I want to get you to shout this morning. Number two, it's a triumphant temple. It's a triumphant temple. Look down in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40. Chapter 15, verse 40. We see this understanding of things that go on here. There are also celestial bodies, but there is also these terrestrial bodies. And so celestial would be heavenly. Terrestrial would be regular. They would be our mortal bodies. It's a comparison of different things. But the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam, which is Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now that seems like a lot, but let me give it to you in this understanding. This temple we have, we take a lot of losses in this temple, don't we? We get scars and sunburns, and we get hot, and we get broken bones, and we have to have surgeries, and we have bad times, and we have a lack of memory, and we have all these different things, loss of hair. We have all these things that go on in this temporary body. And even though it's not a temporary temple because it's raised up, while we have this shell, there's lots of things that go wrong with it, aren't there? From the time you're born, you begin to die. But I got news for you. Even though it seems on earth that this temple just takes loss after loss after loss, this is a triumphant temple. He gives the contrast between certain things. He says that there's incorruption and there's corruption. And so this body is corruption. But watch this. Incorruption triumphs over corruption in the final day. Glory is triumphant over dishonor in the final day. Power is triumphant over weakness in the final day. Spiritual is triumphant over natural. Our resurrection body will be raised in power. It's why you can sing that song. My friend, my beloved Junior Hill wrote the song. It would say Jim Hill in the hymn book, a great evangelist that went on to glory. He wrote that song. What a day that will be. What a day, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. The reason why we can sing that song is because this temple is a triumphant temple. It's not a temple that is sown in disobedience. dishonor, or sown in weakness, or sown in just the natural, or sown in just corruption, but it's triumphant over corruption. It's triumphant over weakness. It's triumphant over dishonor. It's triumphant over the natural. It's more than that. Even if you don't care much about animals, there's nothing sadder than a dead body. There's nothing, I mean, think about the Jews. They weren't even allowed to touch it or look at it. They couldn't touch the casket, where you may go to a funeral and someone who's laid out, you go and hug them and kiss them and touch them and touch the casket. The Jews weren't even allowed. You remember that story of the widow of Nain, and Jesus touches the funeral bier, and they're all, because he's a Jew and he's touching something that a dead body's touching. A dead body is foul, and without the proper taking care of a dead body, it begins to stink and it begins to decay. And even when you see roadkill on the road, even though you may not be an animal lover, every time I see something on the road that's dead, I think, you know, just seconds before that thing was hit, it was living a life. If it was a squirrel, it was getting nuts. And if it was a possum, it may have had baby possums inside of it. If it's a deer, it had a family, and it was just eating berries and things. And now there's no life in it. And what a sad thing to go from death, from life to death in an instance. When you look at that dead body, you think there's just no chance. And when you look at a roadkill like that, there really is. When an animal dies because of it not having a soul, it's just dead. And it's sad. And I've taught my children, regardless of how you feel, I'm no pacifist, tree hugger, but I do say there's no reason to kill something just for no reason. Because God gave it life. And if you're a hunter-gatherer, I'm a fisher. If you're going to eat it, God gave us dominion. If you're going to take it and eat it and to sustain us, God gave us animals to eat. Come on. Amen. It's okay. That which God has called clean, call thou not unclean. So we can eat it and even praise the Lord by the blessings of the New Testament. We can even eat the pig, right? Come on now. Eat everything on it but the snout. Come on now. But there's no reason just to kill, just to kill. Honestly, when they study psychopaths, one of the things they do as little kids is they just kill things just to kill. They just break a rabbit's neck just because they feel like it. They just shoot a dog because they just feel like it, because it's psychopathic behavior if you're just killing just to kill. Now, people will say, what about pests? Pests are a different thing. You have dominion. If something's causing you to have loss or it could hurt you, if a rattlesnake comes into your house, you probably ought to try to kill it. So hear what I'm saying. Okay, but people say, well, what about spiders? What about this? Listen, people are afraid of things. I know people smack them dead and stink bugs, but I don't kill any of that stuff generally. I just God gave it a purpose. I might rehome it. I might take it outside and go like this, but I try. Ants, I don't just kill ants just because. If they're in my house, then perhaps, because they're going to get in your food and things like this. But just outside, all I'm saying is this: God gave it a life, and I'm not going to take it for no reason. But I'm going to give you this as an understanding. We are triumphant in our temple over death. The Bible says, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. When you get saved, you're made alive, and it means this mortal body will become immortal one day. And so we're triumphant. I had a dog that I rescued, and he was a very skinny little dog when I rescued him. He hadn't been fed in months and so skinny. He was a pup, probably about 3 or 4 months old, and you could see his ribs, and he would lay around, and the vet said, there's not much we can do. And he was at the vet overnight. And the next morning, the vet called and said, I don't know what happened, but this dog is up and jumping around and eating and drinking and barking at me and growling and acting like he's never been sick a day in his life. And I was able to bring him home, and he ate and fed and he filled out and turned into a big old beautiful 60-pound brindle boxer, and he was wonderful. But there was a point where that dog, even the vet, after several weeks of trying to nurse it back to health, he said, he's not going to make it. That dog one morning woke up and said, I'm going to be triumphant over death. I'm going to get up and they're not going to let me die in here. I'm going to eat. I'm going to live. I'm going to get up. And Christian, let me just give it to you this way. Remember in your body, even when you suffer losses, even when you're struggling, even when your health isn't good, remember this, because of God and because of the resurrection of Christ, you are going to be triumphant over this earthly body. It's greater. There's power over weakness. There's glory over dishonor. There is a triumphant spirit in you. And so when the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, that same greater one in you is saying, even though your body's dying here, one day it's going to live for eternity. And that's amazing. But can we talk about the rapture for a moment? Number three, it's a transportable temple. It's a transportable temple. This old temple don't just stay down here, does it? Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. My daughter and I went to the Dayton Air Show yesterday, and we saw the Torah, the reenactment of the Japanese coming into Pearl Harbor, and I was telling her about the USS Arizona because she was asking me questions and how it's still entombed there in the harbor. But I was telling her, I said, but you know what's cool about that? I said, any of those sailor boys that are on that ship, because she said, are their bodies still there? And I said, they're probably somewhat preserved considering what's going on. I said, but anybody that was saved on that ship, I said, I want to be one of two places when the rapture happens, doing a graveside service or at the U.S. Arizona. Because someday, anybody who was saved where that boat is underwater now, they're going to burst out of that and they're going to be called up and transported from this death here on earth to life with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we see in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, that transport means to be able to be carried away or moved. And when you get saved, you now have this transportable body. You now you're able to be carried away or moved when this happens. Paul writes this to us and gives us the mystery. Behold, I shall show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now watch this. It's a transportable body. We're speaking of the rapture. If you don't understand the rapture, let me give you a basic understanding of it. God says that he won't leave his bride. He won't leave the church in trouble. And so in the end times, the tribulation comes, and it's 7 years of hell on earth because of the time of Jacob's trouble, because of the Jews and all their sin and all their going whoring after false idols and false gods, because of what's going on from the beginning until the time where God would send the tribulation. But right before the tribulation, right before God gives this trying time to the Jews because of their sin and because of the world's sin, right before he pours his wrath upon it, this trumpet is not the seven trumpet judgments. This trumpet is a different trumpet. It's a trumpet of God. And then there's seven trumpet warnings that come later. But this one is different. This trumpet is not a trumpet like a warning that war is about to start. This trumpet is a war. This trumpet is a call to stand still and to come to the one who's commanding you to come. But the rapture happens right before this time of trouble. It's called, the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's a catching away or a snatching away or a transport. But here we see it. It's a raising. It's a resurrection. And what happens at the rapture is God saves his bride, the church, and all those who have believed in Christ by faith through grace alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. All those who get that and exactly that, who have believed the gospels and repented unto eternal life to the Lord. When that happens, instantly, at the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. All those who have died in Christ, whose bodies are in the grave. Now listen to me. Their spirit's already been in heaven, but now they're just a celestial being. They have a spirit. But at the rapture, this body is reformed into a celestial body, into an incorruptible body, and it turns into something that can't be broken, can't be hurt, can't die again, can't get injured. Nothing bad can happen to it. They say, what if you were cremated? God is God. He's going to reform that thing. They said, what if it's been eaten by worms? God's going to reform that thing. What if it's been entombed in the U.S. Arizona? God's going to reform that thing because he's God. Amen. They come up and say, how are they going to get out of the grave? Oh, when the power of God comes, ain't no grave can hold my body down. You're going to burst right up out of that thing. And then we which are alive and remain, then we're caught up, raptured up, and there we meet the Lord in the air, and forever shall we be with the Lord in the air. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But watch this. So that's what the rapture is. We're able to be carried away. This very body is resurrected by the power of God and raised up at the rapture. But I want you to know this. This transportable body can only be transported if you've placed your faith in Christ and Christ alone. Because there's another group of people whose bodies aren't able to be transported. There's another group who aren't able to be taken. When I worked at the jail, we would transport people from the county jail to the state prison. If the judge had convicted them of a felony, after their trial, when you're in county jail, you're in the legal process of trial. You're still innocent. That's why they have more rights in county jails than they do in prisons. I worked at a county jail, and so those inmates were presumed to be innocent, even though a lot of times you kind of knew that their guilt level. But when they were convicted, when they were finally sentenced, we would take those in the transport wagon in this van with cages and transport them and take them to the state prison. But listen, not until they were sentenced were they able to be transported to prison. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And so there's one of two sentences for all mankind. Either you are sentenced to a life of death and hell, or you are sentenced to a life of eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. But both groups will be transported at some point, but only the first group is transported in the rapture. In the twinkling of an eye. The second group is transported to a place called the Great White Throne of Judgment, where they're already guilty and they have to stand before Christ and they be cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. I mean this with all sincerity. Perhaps there's some of you here today that aren't 100% sure that if the rapture happened right now, let me give you this piece of information. There's nothing stopping the rapture from happening right now. Happens in the twinkling of an eye. Right now, I might not get out the next word, and some of y'all will still be here perhaps, but some of us who are able to be transported because our sentence is heaven, we're going to go up. Hey, guess what's going to happen when you go up? God's going to leave all the corruptible things here. Your wallet's going to stay here. Your car's going to stay here. This building's going to stay here. We're going up. You ain't going to need your walker no more. You ain't going to need your glasses no more. You're going up. But watch this. I want you to understand this very body is resurrected by the power of God and is able to be raised up at the rapture only if you have placed your faith in Christ, in Christ alone, repented of your sins, believed the gospel. The rapture is not for everybody. Not everybody can be transported. There were guys in the county jail, they wanted to get to prison because they had more ability to get things and more rights and all these other things as far as there's better commissary, there's workout equipment. And so some of them were saying, I want to go to the joint, I want to get out of here, but you're not able to go yet because you don't have a sentence. Not everybody's able to be transported. But this body is a transportable temple. I love the song, the hymn, but power and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he had done. Listen to me. We can sing praise the Lord, only if we know that at the time of the rapture that our body is able to be transported, and that this temple that has put on incorruption, that was once corruptible, that this temple that will be caught up at the twinkling of an eye with the trump of God, we can sing that song, praise the Lord. But if you can't sing that today, I want you to really think about it. Now, let me talk to those who do know that they're going to the rapture. Look at verse 58 again. The Bible says, therefore. Whenever the Bible says, therefore, it's there for a reason. And so here, he gives us this, therefore. And I want to show you just very quickly this morning what it means. Therefore, my beloved. Who is he talking to? He says, my beloved. He's talking to those who are saved. He's talking to the church. He's talking to those who have placed their faith in Christ alone. Therefore, my beloved brethren. He says, because you know that your temple is transportable, don't live like everybody else who's concerned that it's not. Don't live not knowing that this temple is triumphant. Don't live not knowing that this temporary temple is not temporary. It's temporary on earth, but one day it's going to be raised to eternity. Don't live like everybody else. Because you know this, because you believe this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. You know what it means? Don't give up. Things on earth are hard. My body's breaking down. Things don't seem so good. My kids won't act right. My dad ain't treating me right. This ain't happening good. My boss don't like me. The dog don't even like me. Listen, don't give up. Be steadfast in the things of the Lord, because I know I'm going. Be unmovable. Don't live without hope. Don't let people get you off track. Don't be negative. Negativity and cynicism is ruining the church. People are always complaining about all the stupid stuff. People are always worried about what's wrong, and people don't ever think about what's good. And he says, because you know that you're going to be caught up at the catching away of the church, at the rapture of the church, why are you worried about negative stuff? You ought to be singing praise the Lord, because it's all good in the neighborhood. Somebody said amen. And then he says this, always, everybody say always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He says, because you know that he's made you alive, he says, don't quit serving the Lord. Don't stay down, because one day this temple is going to raise up. So with this temple you have, serve the Lord in gladness. With this temple you have, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord, because you know that there's eternal rewards for the things you do on earth for the glory of God, let this temple bring glory to God. Let this temple serve God. Let this temple be a blessing to God. Let this temple be something that is used for the glory of God and the edifying of the saints of the church. Let this temple be used of God, because we know that there's a greater place that it's going. Christian, don't give up. Be steadfast. Christian, don't live without hope and be moved off of your beliefs. Be unmovable. Christian, serve the Lord with gladness. Sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, because you know that the grace of God is such that it's always abounding, and that your labor is not in vain, but that your labor is working. It's all working out for the goodness of God. Amen. Friend, I challenge you today. Celebrate and enjoy the fact that this is not a temporary temple. That this temple, if you're saved, will be carried away in the rapture. And what a day that will be. What a glorious day. Remember that this temple, it's not temporary. Remember that this temple, even when you feel like it's being defeated day by day, it's a triumphant temple. Remember that this temple is a transportable temple, because you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and the sentence is heaven for eternity with him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise be to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you today, help us and guide us. Lord, I'm praying today. I pray that we get to the heart of the matter. That if there's one in this room today that is not 100% sure that if the rapture